Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. I'd like you to stop by there, take advantage of the resources. You can also listen to the most recent last five days programs there, or recent weeks programs. We began this study yesterday, so you could go to yesterday's study is already up there. They go up automatically within several hours after the program is over, so do take advantage of that. We're in Proverbs chapter 2, about verse 18. I'll back up here a little bit. Discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you, to deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the way of the evil, the man is added there, from the man that speaketh froward things. They leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. They forsake the guide. And it talks about, personifies the wicked here as a woman, to deliver you from the strange woman, the woman that flatters with her lips, which forsakes the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Well, this was from Solomon, who grew up in the mortal kingdom of God. That was Israel, national Israel, at a time that after they had already forsaken, his form of government, and they cried out and said, we want a king like the other nations. So they're on their third king, and that is Solomon. And kings are men nonetheless. If their king isn't God, they have fallible kings. They went from their first king was really an evil man. That was Saul. And they liked Saul because he was tall. He stood above all the other men around him. And I guess he was very handsome and eloquent. And so he was pleasant to look on. That's pretty much the way they elect leaders today if the people have a choice. Those who control behind the scenes decide which pretty faces and smooth talkers they get to pick from. If you really think any of those people out there have pretty faces and are very smooth talkers. Some of them are pretty smooth talkers, though. Oh, boy. But I grew up in a land, not where I didn't have a covenant with God. Perhaps my fathers did, maybe my forefathers, which they didn't pass down to me, because I grew up in a system, in a world system, where the state ran everything. And I was very well indoctrinated by the state. So I didn't forget the covenant or the guide of my youth. I just practically had no guide in my youth. And I certainly didn't have a covenant with my God to forget. But here the preacher, he speaks about this woman, evil personified. She forsakes the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. This is the temptation. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. So when we forget God, when we forget His covenant, and what is His covenant, really? You think about it. His covenant is our eternal life. His covenant with us personally, are the promises. His covenant was redemption, and it is redemption, the redemption of our souls. He says, none that go unto her return again, speaking of the woman, the evil personified. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. You know, there is a dire, a dire warning that once you've tasted the good things of God, once you've entered into covenant with Him, once you've received His guide, it may be perilous, and most likely will be perilous for you to turn back from the plow, to use an illustration from Yahshua. It will most likely be perilous for you, because He says, none that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. So we contrast the paths of life with these paths that lead, that incline to death, and are paths unto the dead. Verse 20, chapter 2. That thou mayest walk in the good, in the way of good. That thou mayest walk in the way of good, and keep the paths of the righteous. And of course that's referring back to when wisdom enters into your heart. He says, discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you. And then we get past the parenthetical, and he says, that you may walk in the way of good, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Well, what is this, the perfect? I'm not perfect, and you hear it all the time, that any time you talk about this, people have to proclaim that I'm not perfect, I'm just a sinner, forgiven, or whatever. Well, I think a better translation here would be the perfected, because that's what he does with us. He perfects us. When we enter into covenant with him, when we tell him that we repent, and we ask him to be our God, and to write his law on our hearts, we don't suddenly become perfect. We have to persevere to become perfected. Perhaps a better word would be matured. We become more mature. Because the scripture says that even Yahshua, Jesus, was perfected through suffering. Well, wasn't he the perfect Son of God? Well, certainly, if anyone could be called perfect, it would be him, because he had never sinned. Let's call that pretty much perfected. Yet the word says that he was perfected through suffering. So he was matured through suffering. And if he was perfected through suffering, how much more us? And that's what it means to be perfect. It means that you're being perfected. So we could look at it that way, that we are not absolutely perfect and without sin, and that we've saying something like we've never sinned, or we've reached a state of perfection, sinless perfection. No, not into that doctrine. That is not going to happen. I would not want my head to get that big. But it says the upright. So the upright are those who are standing upright before our Heavenly Father, those who are in his kingdom and walking in righteousness, seeking. That's what it means to be upright, is that we seek to live by the law of our Heavenly Father. We seek to do only the things that please him. And when we fail, we fall on him, and we reach for his hand to help us up and to teach us obedience. And that's what it means to be when he says the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. And we went through Daniel and Revelation, and we read all about that there will come a time when those that have entered into his kingdom, those that have made a decision to, they've chose to live a life of obedience by faith, believing this here, that they will dwell in the land and that they will remain in it, knowing that the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and transgressors shall be rooted out of it. You know, perhaps that's where we find the fear of Yahuwah, the fear of the Lord, the fear of God needs to be found here in this statement. The wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. And you know, we've all done wicked. We've all been wicked. We've all transgressed the law. But that's no longer our identity if we're in him, if we're in his kingdom, and we're learning obedience from him, if we're having his law written on our hearts by our choice, because we've chosen to live a life that pleases him by faith, we believe that he can finish the work in us. So our identity is no longer that of wicked. Our identity is no longer that of a transgressor, because we have been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, and we stand in his kingdom, and before him, we are perfect, because he looks at us and he sees no stain of sin whatsoever. So that's how the perfect shall remain in it, and we can be perfect. Not because we've never sinned, not because we've never transgressed, but because we are washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. And that ends chapter 2 of Proverbs, chapter 3 and verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. Do you love his law? Do you keep his commandments in your heart? My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. You know, it's as if the Heavenly Father, this is his word. He is speaking this to me. I can take this to heart. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Length of days. What is that? That's fullness of days. You know, how long? The day isn't going to now be 24 hours or longer than 24 hours. So what does this length of days means? It means that my days are full. It means that, well, to borrow a phrase from the world, I'm living large. You know, that's what they say in the world now, but they mean something else by it. They mean they're living large, running up credit card debt and meeting all the right celebrities and stuff like that. And, you know, listen and watching all the big screen TVs, but, you know, that's living large in the world. That's being a, you know, that just means you're a bigger slave than the rest of them because you're mortgaging your soul better. But no, I mean, here it is. Truly having your days full of peace, full of goodness, full of life. You're living life to its fullest in reality, not living large according to the ways of the world. So that's length of days. Length of days, because we're not getting 25 hours in a day instead of 24. So that's the only way I can interpret the length of days there is the fullness of days. And it says, and long life. So it's differentiating. Some people could say, well, length of days means you're going to live a longer life, but he adds to it. He says, and long life. So you have length of days. So I interpret that as a fullness of days, a full life, a vibrant life, a life that where you're awake and you're aware and you're accomplishing things and what you're doing has value and you are valued and you value the people around you. Truly living large according to his vernacular. And it's and long life. So my son, let's back it up there. My son, forget not my law. Okay, if you're going to forget not his law, what does that mean? Well, that means that you have his law, that you know his law. Otherwise, how could you forget it? Well, the corporate church and the easy believism ministers out there, they have taught you that his law was nailed to the cross. Of course, now I'm reading that's that Old Testament now, because I am reading the Old Testament. My son, forget not my law. But let your heart keep my commandments. Well, you know, Jesus said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And he said, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. What is his will? If you love me, Jesus said this, Yahshua. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What commandments? How did our Heavenly Father speak to us? What commandments? He didn't have the New Testament. All he had was the Old Testament. Those were the only commandments. When he spoke to the so-called rich young ruler, and he said, what do I lack? You know, how do I get eternal life? And he said, well, keep the commandments. And the rich young man says, well, I've done all these from my youth up. Must have been a good boy. If he learned and kept the commandments from his youth up. Probably called goody two-shoes by his friends or something. Who knows? You know, if you're too good and in the world, they pick on you. But I guess Yahshua perceived that he loved his riches. He said, sell all you have and could come and follow me. See, the man, he didn't have it already. He says, how do I get it? Now, whether he did that or not, I don't know. It says he went away troubled. Well, I'd be troubled too. Hopefully he went away troubled enough that he did it, that he sold everything and he went and followed Yahshua. Because he was asking, the question was, how do I get eternal life? Well, what is it worth to you? You know, are you willing to give everything for it? Because that's what it takes. We've been discussing that for days. That's what it takes. It may cost you everything. You may get thrown into a fiery furnace. You may get thrown into a dead lions. They may burn you at a stake. They may throw you in prison. They may mow you down on the street with a gun. They might mace you in your car. Who knows what they'll do to you? It may cost you everything. It may cost you your family, your children. What's it worth to you? Because whatever you're not willing to pay for it, that's what it's worth. That's right. And that was the lesson there for the so-called rich young ruler. Sell all that you have. What is it worth to you? My son, forget not my law. We need to have his law so that we don't forget it. So we get his law so that we don't forget it. We have to have it. If we don't have it, how can we forget it? when they tried to teach us to us, we said, forget that. The law was nailed to the cross. That was a pretty good saying. I think I'll hold on to that one. So you forgot his law before you heard it. It says, but let your heart keep my commandments. It's not a grievous thing. The commandments aren't, it ain't all that much. You know, unless you enjoy breaking the commandments. You know, I mean, you can narrow it down to two. Yeshua, he narrowed it down to two commandments. We got 10. I have read the whole book. I have no problem with any of it. I want to keep it all. Why not? It's better than the commandments of the world. I mean, I probably break the commandments of the world 100 times over a day because I don't even know. They keep passing more and more commandments every day, millions of commandments every year. As a matter of fact, these guys up there, they have nothing better to do. That's their job. They go up there and write new commandments for the people. That's right. You can't do this. You can't have that. You can't have lead bullets here. You can't, you know, on and on it goes. Every day they write new commandments. And there's a burden. That's grievous. You know, I've got these commandments in a book that was written that, you know, I've had that's been around for hundreds of years and he's not changing it. You know, I can know what it is. I can know what's required. And they call that grievous? How brainwashed are we? How brainwashed are the people? How mind controlled are you that you think the commandments of God are grievous while you bow down to the state who has millions of commandments, so many that you can't know them all? And their commandments make every one of us sinners. All of us are criminals. All that means is that they have total control and they can arrest anyone they want at any time they want simply by digging deep enough into their life till they find with several commandments that they've broken. Yeah, everyone. I don't care who you are. You're a lawbreaker by the commandments of men. But he says, my son, forget not my law. You know, all you got to do is read the book. And then if you're seeking for his wisdom and his knowledge and his understanding as for silver and as for hid treasure, you're going to know his commandments. And he says, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments for length of days, long life. You want to live a long life? Well, you know, that's not promised. I mean, but, you know, that wisdom says you can have that. I hope to live a long life. I don't know that I will, but something could happen. You know, keeping his commandments might cost me my life, as it should have, or could have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. And how about all of those that gave up their lives during the Dark Ages for the Inquisition? How about the hundreds of the thousands, that have given up their lives in the Sudan for their faith because they would not recant or convert to Islam? It's happening all over the world today. Long life. My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments for length of days, long life and peace they shall add to you. And I'll tell you what, long life is true under any circumstance. You may have a long life here and you may not, but I'll tell you what, you'll have a long life forever. Either that, the other choice is you'll have a long death forever. You know, so weigh that one out and see which side you want to come down on that one. And the unfortunate thing is that the majority of the people on earth are choosing the long death. And many of those that are choosing the long death have deceived themselves into believing that they're going to go to heaven when they die. Yet they won't step foot in his kingdom today. They won't move their little toe into his kingdom. Because they hate his law and they don't want to be under his government. That's right. His kingdom is his government. It's where he rules. And if you hate his law and you hate his government and you love that little saying that his law was nailed to the cross, then how are you going to enter into his kingdom? He's looking for volunteers. People will say, yes, I want to do what pleases you. Teach me your law. Write it upon my heart. You be my God. I'll be your man. That's what he's looking for, volunteers. There is no force in the kingdom of God. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. So now we're getting some ideas of what it means to forget not his law and to keep his commandments and the promise of full days, a long life, and peace that can be added, that shall be added to you. So there's more of that, what Yahshua said when he said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added to you. Well, here we have additional things. Length of days, full life, long life, peace they shall add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. See, these are signs in your life that you haven't forgot His law, that you're keeping His commandments, because the fruit is going to be mercy and truth. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about thy neck. Write them on the table of your heart. And we'll pick up there after these messages.